Welcome to The Advertising Show, America's only radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, product development, branding, new media, sales and customer relations. Stay with us for entertaining marketing discussion and our special guest interview. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe.
Great to have you here at The Advertising Show with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe, being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com. And by Captivate Network, visit them at captivate.com. The Advertising Show is a Big Radio Midgets production. We've got a great guest tonight, Gary Vaynerchuk, out of New York, actually New Jersey, a 33-year-old self-trained wine and social media expert. And I can see how wine and social media go together. Who has revolutionized the wine industry. Gary, the director of operations at the Wine Library. That's his parents' three-story New Jersey-based wine store. And also, he's got a webcast called The Thunder Show. We're going to learn more about Gary here in just a moment as we get a chance to catch up with him in New York this weekend with Ray and Brad. We've also got, momentarily, Jean Bliss. You know, Jean has a book out, and we kind of call it her Good to Great book, although it's got its own title. It's a lot of really cool companies out there and organizations that do things right. And she is our customer experience type person, and we're talking about Griffin Hospital today. And a little bit later on this hour, Shameen Abbas, our activist for excellence. Do you dig it? That's dig with two G's. So a lot of stuff to talk about and a lot of good stuff to come here on the Advertising Show. You know, General Motors has called themselves leaner and meaner. And what they're suggesting, the critics of General Motors, or I suppose just the people who observe things like that, say GM doesn't appear to be learning from its mistakes. The trimmed down new GM still looks a lot like the old one. Ruh-roh. With too many vehicle brands and too many overlapping U.S. models. Several models under each of the General Motors brands are butting heads with similar models at sibling brands, including the new Traverse crossover SUV. And basically, between now and 2011, GM is going to launch an astounding 25 models, according to the CEO, Fritz Henderson. 10 for Chevrolet, 5 for Cadillac, 10 for Buick GMC. You know, you and I have talked about that, Brad, the fact that some car brands just have way too many things out there, and the simplify thing has kind of gone away. Do you think General Motors is doing the same thing?
You know, it's easy to take a shot at them, but I got to tell you, it's a Goliath of a company, and like a huge ship out at sea, it's hard to make it turn on a dime. Supposedly, with this electric car that they're coming out with next year, I think will be a huge step in the right direction to change the brand. It's going to be costing around $40,000, as I recall, and but it will be a beginning, I think. And of course, that price will come down eventually. But you know, it's a big company, and yet GM still does very well in China. It's one of the more desirable products there among Chinese, and they still do a decent job in Europe. So, yeah, they had a few bumps in the road, and deservingly so, because all their brands were beginning to look the same. We've talked about that, Ray.
Well, sure.
But it's a big company. It's hard to turn around a company that quickly. But I think they're making some good decisions that may be seen somewhere down the road.
You know, one of the new cars is the Camaro, a model that could lift interest, they say, in the entire Chevrolet U.S. brand. Kind of looks like, actually, it looks like a Chrysler. It still kind of looks like it looks like a Camaro, but it looks like a Chrysler. It's kind
you know,
of
cars kind of just aren't that distinctive these days. I saw a Mercedes the other day, and they talk about a brand that has extended its models to cover a variety of consumer wants and needs. But Mercedes, to me, just doesn't have the unique, sleek, cool look it once had. But yet BMW's done a decent job of retaining its nice, cool look to it. So I don't know. They're all tending to look the same nowadays.
Well, with the exception of the smart car.
The smart car. The half of a car.
The half of a car. The car I'm afraid I would not want to be in an accident in and or put my golf clubs in the back seat. Wait, I can't put my golf clubs in the back seat.
Well, you're better off just taking a golf cart if you're going to have your golf clubs there instead of the smart car. I think you'd have more room, wouldn't you?
I don't know. I'm thinking so, though. Jean Bliss is going to talk here momentarily about a hospital called Griffin Hospital. And apparently it's something special. Let's listen.
Welcome to the customer experience. making customers your true priority for a profitable outcome. With your host, author, speaker, consultant, and customer crusader, Jean Bliss.
Griffin Hospital, a regional hospital in Connecticut, develops healthcare workers' natural instinct for an open and honest patient relationship. So they decided to make medical records available to patients and their families. Now, worried doctors feared that patients armed with this information would fuel an increase in lawsuits. The total opposite occurred. This decision reduced malpractice claims. Malpractice claims against the hospital dropped by more than 43%, from 32% in 1996, before the policy was enacted, to 18%. Now, patient discharges rose 40% during that period, an increase that usually carries an increase in claims. This decision stopped that cycle. Trusting patients with their own records grew patient belief in Griffin Hospital and ultimately contributed to its growth. Griffin earned an 80% referral rate from customers who participated in this new decision. What gesture can you make to show customers you trust them, that you believe that trust is reciprocated? Are you transparent with your customers?
This has been your weekly installment of The Customer Experience with Jean Bliss. Directing transformational customer insights from major U.S. market leaders, Jean is corporate America's change agent for a new inspirational understanding of today's consumer. To learn more about Jean's books and speaking engagements, or simply how to drive customer profitability for your company, log on to customerbliss.com.
Thank you so much, Jean Bliss, here at the Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. What do you have there, Brad?
I don't know. Maybe you heard about this, Ray. Apple is investigating reports that some of its iPhones and iPod devices have exploded, but considers the incidents as isolated, they're saying. The incidents include an account of a teenager in France who said that he was injured when his iPhone made a hissing noise and shattered. I don't know. I'm envisioning something like this. Hello? Can you hear me? If you can, call 911, please. My phone just exploded. It's not funny. Good. It's not good for a great brand and a wonderful product, iPhone. Hopefully it's an isolated case, as I'm saying here. My goodness.
That's like the tape recorder that used to destroy itself on Mission Impossible, right? Sounds about the same.
Your phone. That was an 8-track
My
tape.
My phone blowed up good. Oh, boy. Gary Vaynerchuk is coming up here in just a moment out of New York. 33-year-old self-trained wine and social media expert. But Gary is known as the king of social media. He has a crown to prove that. One of the first and one of a few Facebook users that maxed out his friend limit with over 17,000 requests pending. Wow. He's been the most followed person in New York City on Twitter. And by the police? No. And was the keynote speaker at noted events like the 09 South by Southwest Interactive Conference, the new Media and Web 2.0 Expos, and also a weekly contributor to thestreet.com. And let's see, we've got Gary is regularly asked to consult on social media for some of the world's largest and most recognizable companies like Google and Domino's. So we've got a lot more to say about Gary, but we're out of time here, at least for the next few moments. And then we'll get back on the phone with Gary and find out more about what he's up to as well as we continue with the Advertising Show. It's propelled, it's energized by Shipple.com. It's S-C-H-I-P-U-L.com and a program called Tendency. Check it out at Shipple.com. Back in just a minute.
Here comes another typical commercial. I could get your attention by blowing a foghorn or maybe an awesome scream. But even that doesn't cut through the clutter enough to really captivate your attention. If you're an advertiser and you really want your message to be heard, then reach for the golden nugget of advertising. It's what's called a captive audience. One company delivers this much sought-after captive audience. And believe it or not, it's just the people you want to reach, business professionals and decision makers. It all happens in 23 of North America's largest and most progressive markets. And the captive audience is right there in the elevators of select premier office towers. Over 8,000 high-quality video screens get people's attention with what research proves they want, news and information. It's all combined with your branded message in a way that only this captive audience sees and absorbs. Cut the waste in your advertising budget by reaching just who you want to reach. Don't just advertise. Captivate your audience. To find out more, click on Captivate.com.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsythe.
You love Devilman Gum. Double good, double gum.
Welcome back, as promised. Gary Vaynerchuk out of New York with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsythe here at The Advertising Show. I really don't know what to call you. I could call you the, I'll call you the king of social media, Gary. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, you know, reading your bio there, and Ray covered about 80% of it, what I want to know, Gary, is why the hell did you spend every weekend of your college years at your parents' wine store? Is it free wine, or you didn't have anything else to do? What's going on there?
It's just the sad affairs of my journeys through the years. You know, I was just very passionate about building my family business, and so I hustled. I worked hard, and it was something I was focused on building, and I wasn't, I was very impatient. I wanted to get going right away, and so in hindsight, I should have stayed back and partied with the girls, but, you know, hindsight's 20/20.
So you're popular with all the girls and the guys there. What kind of cologne do you wear, Gary?
Well, you know, what happens is free beer was my cologne, and that really, you know, that makes you very popular. Right?
Oh, Pabst Blue Ribbon. I like that. That's good.
That's right.
We might add that you built that family business from $4 million to $40 million, so nothing wrong with that. Let's talk a little bit about wine for a second, something that I've made a huge investment in over the years. And, you know, I'm also a marketing executive, and I've always associated the marketing of wine with that of art. For example, Gary, when I think of price of a bottle of wine, you know, I've had expensive wines that taste great. I've had expensive wines that are mediocre. And, you know, it's kind of the same way with art. It's all consumer value perception, pretty much in the hands of the consumer. Yet wine producers, all over the place when it comes to pricing their product. Share with us some of the insights that you've come up with on how the wine industry is unique and how they come up with their pricing and marketing of their products.
Well, that's a great question. Thank you. It's one of the better questions I've been asked in a long time. I think it's very fascinating. You have to understand a multi-billion-dollar industry that at some level, once you start getting over $15 a bottle, retail was completely dictated by two entities, The Wine Spectator and Robert Parker. So it was, you know, we're just now, because of social media, getting out of this 15 to 20 year run where a couple of critics really dominated, but to be brutally honest, the way wineries priced was pretty much grabbing, you know, a number out of thin air, and then after they got a rating, they basically adjusted. I mean, you know, once you got a 94, 95 point score from Parker, you would start changing your price points, but
sure,
most wines priced within basically the category of what they thought they were. It's as simple as that. I mean, it was a very interesting time. It's changed quite a bit, and you're getting a lot more consumer product people getting involved in the wine industry. It's getting a little more streamlined, but you really, really dealt with a farming community that didn't have a lot of business people involved, and there was really, really a lot of fragmentation on the retail end because of the liquor laws that are so archaic, and it was a very unique industry for a lot of reasons. The pricing and the marketing, I felt, was completely out of whack. Not so much the pricing as the marketing. I just did not feel that the industry itself was speaking to the normal person. And so that's really why I started WineLibraryTV.com, my video wine blog that really kind of got me involved into social media. I felt there was a massive voice missing, and I felt like I was going to fill that void.
So Parker and Wine Spectator and the others have taken a diminished role now that people like yourself and other wine bloggers out there can provide guidance and information, or is there still traditional media folks out there that influence?
No, I listen, Parker and Spectator are still important, but they're definitely not as important, and we've definitely seen a growth of, you know, my show, bloggers like Binography, and we've definitely seen sites like Corked and Cellar Tracker become more important, and because of community-based scoring. And so, you know, technology just changes the game.
Yeah, it really does. You know, I'm going to give you a chance to plug your book coming out, although don't give your publicist a raise because we didn't get an advance copy, one of the few we never received. But tell us a little bit about your new book, Crush It. I know it's to be released this fall.
Yes, thank you. Crushitbook.com, Crush It. I'm writing a book about how I kind of went about building my personal brand through social media, how it's built on sweat equity and getting in the trenches much more than it's built on really, you know, dollars and cents. And that's a major branding change in our society. So I look at a high level, talk about how, you know, television is going to be kind of the next industry to really have to adjust or, you know, really there's no, you know, alternatives. And then really get into the details of how somebody can really find their passion, build a business. I mean, here's what it comes down to. Sally Arkansas, if she loves zucchini, can build a blog or content around zucchini and make more than the average American income. And to me, that's shocking that the gatekeepers and the advertising dollars and all this is shifting. This is a printing press movement. This isn't a fad. And the quicker people realize it, the quicker they're going to get involved, the quicker they're going to be able to pick up opportunities and live their live a better life, really.
Well, I know you just started VaynerMedia, and we're going to talk a little bit about that next segment. But since you're talking about social media and how you've been out to and the influence of social media and traditional marketing and so forth, I know you're a big fan of Twitter. Talk a little bit about what you call your Twitter experience.
I'm a big fan of Twitter, and though I'll be honest with you, even in the last couple of weeks, I've had less excitement about Twitter than I have in the past. I'm very hot on Facebook again because of some of the things they've done. But I did do a Twitter experiment last December where I sent out a tweet for a discount to winelibrary.com, and I also spent $7,500 on a billboard and on a newspaper campaign, and we got more codes and more redemptions from Twitter than we did from the other $23,000 combined. And that is powerful. The end.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's, you know, that's really business 101. This cost me $0. Now, it didn't. That's not fair. I put in years of sweat equity to build my brand
in
those trenches. But still, the return is substantial, and it's something that a lot of people have to pay attention to. And so spending $0 and getting, you know, 1,500 orders or plus, and then spending $23,000 and getting half of that is a very eye-opening experience.
It sounds like a plan. Gary Vaynerchuk is our special guest out of New York. It is Ray Shulman's and Brad Forsyth here on The Advertising Show. More coming up in just a moment. Stay right here.
Why do more media professionals read IWantMedia.com? IWantMedia.com features reports from industry leaders and media personalities. IWantMedia.com gives you quick access to news, stats, trade orgs, and industry publications, and it's updated daily. Forbes says IWantMedia.com contains everything media professionals need to stay ahead of the game. The Washington Post calls it the source for the serious media geek. Do you get it? If you don't, you should. To sign up for free daily email alerts, visit IWantMedia.com.
Make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is The Advertising Show.
I drink Dr. Pepper and I'm proud. I used to be alone in a crowd. But now you look around these days.
You're on The Advertising Show with Ray Shulman and Brad Forsyth. And out of New York, a very special guest is Gary Vaynerchuk, who is runs a great store in New Jersey, a three-story wine store called the Wine Library. Gary, I see from your bio you have a Russian background as well as your parents go. I've got a bottle of Russian number 6 beer in the fridge here at the studios. I've not opened it yet, but is it good beer?
Yeah, you know what? It's not bad. I've had it once or twice, and I thought it was pretty solid. I tend to be more of a lambic guy, but not bad.
Okay. Is it better than number 5? Is that what it is?
No, number 5 is the best number in the world. That's my favorite number. Please don't ever talk about number 5 again.
Okay, so I'll go get some number 5. Never mind. Anyway, welcome back to the show.
Thanks.
Yeah, last segment you mentioned you're not as big of a fan of Twitter as you were of your now Facebook fan. I hope both of those social media figure out how to turn a profit, or we're going to be talking about, you know, what used to be opportunities for people like you. But why a bigger fan of Facebook today than Twitter?
Well, let me just make one point. Anybody who doesn't realize that Facebook and Twitter are going to become profitable, back to what you just said, does not fully understand, in my opinion, how American business works and world business works. We're in the eyeballs business. I mean, period. And Facebook has 400 million users. so. And Twitter, I mean, if Twitter enabled search buying ads right now on their search pages, they would become profitable overnight. So the guys, the entrepreneurs that are involved, I mean, we're talking about Evan Williams. He sold Blogger to Google already and made millions of dollars. These guys are not amateurs. I think what I'm excited about is that Facebook's opened up their search, and their Facebook fan page is much more powerful than your normal Twitter page. I think it's also a statement to the game changes. You know, in March of 08, I'm yelling and screaming on Facebook that Twitter is going to be a problem for Facebook and they need to pay attention to it. And now here we are in August of 09, and I just said to you, oh, forget what I said, it's changed. And then Google Wave is going to come out in December and probably change all that. And so there's going to be so many shifts. This whole platform is moving very quickly. The internet itself is the platform that changed the game. All these platforms and applications on top of it, websites, they're going to change monthly, weekly, yearly. And what's imperative is for people to stay abreast and understand the subtle changes that are going on day to day that are really impacting it.
Yeah, I think it was a smart move that they came up with their search, and Facebook did. They stumbled not so long ago in attempting to monetize their membership, but they recovered from that. Let's talk a little bit about Twitter since we're talking about that. You have top Twitter tips. What are they, Gary?
I would say a couple things. First and foremost, it's about listening, right? Too many people just want to get on Twitter and start talking, and nobody's ever a fan of that. So I think that it's about using search and listening to what people are asking you, the kind of questions they're asking you, what they need from you, things of that nature. So that would be one thing that I'm very, very passionate about. Number two, it's really about working the room instead of giving a presentation. So what I mean by that is there's just too many people that sit around and want to just dictate, and instead they need to go into the trenches and shake hands virtually. And what I mean by that is, again, maybe with search listening, you're looking for people that are talking about you. With a cocktail party analogy, you're going and you're searching terms of things that you're passionate about. For me, it'd be wine and business and advertising and marketing and branding. And just, you know, saying, at SallyPants49, I agree with you. Or today I could say, at Tom, I know, can you believe that the Gap moved all their TV budget to online? Wild. This is where things are going. So, you know, it's important for people to understand that there's a substantial opportunity to go into Twitter and become part of the community, engage, interact, instead of just using it as a press release.
What do you think are some of the mistakes, as we wrap up this segment, the bigger mistakes that businesses make on Twitter trying to market their products and services?
Think of it as an addition. They don't look at it as a necessity or core aspect of business. They look at it as this new thing that, oh, we should spend a couple bucks with a person on it. So lack of commitment. Mental DNA.
On the Advertising Show, Ray Shillings, Brad Forsyth, a special guest, Gary Vaynerchuk out of New York. How about a little more conversation? We'll do another segment with Gary here in just a minute. Stay right here.
How can 18 different companies all sell the exact same thing known as water? It starts here in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most thought-provoking, groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. Your job demands you not only have good ideas, but great ideas. And those great ideas have to start somewhere. And that somewhere is in the pages of Advertising Age, and also online at adage.com. How can you get someone's attention if you don't have $10 million in a celebrity endorsement? It starts here in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most innovative and groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. The next big idea demands out-of-the-box thinking. Start your search for greatness in the pages of Advertising Age and also online at adage.com.
Simplifying the complex world of advertising. To reach Ray and Brad with your questions, log on to theadvertisingshow.com. This is The Advertising Show.
Here are some most happy fellas, the four lads for Ford.
Welcome back, Ray Shillings, Brad Forsyth. It is the Advertising Show, and our special guest out of New York is Gary Vaynerchuk. And how does one get Conan O'Brien to lick salted rocks, and why would they want to do that? Why would he want to do it, Gary?
We were proving to people, we were showing them in a creative way how I built my palate. From 17 to 21, I wanted to be a wine expert. My parents would not let me drink. So you know when you read the Wine Spectator reviews or shelf talkers in a store, anything they said on there, I went out and tried. So, you know, minerals and grass. And the only thing I stayed away from was cat pee in New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc. I couldn't get myself to drink cat piss. But other than that, I was pretty much putting all sorts of things in my mouth. And dirt for Burgundy and Bordeaux was definitely one of those things. And Conan is a sport, and we went there.
I've actually had a good scotch that tasted like it came right out of my mulch in the front yard. So it's, I can understand that. It's good.
Absolutely. Scotches really go there.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's probably a generational thing, but we didn't eat grass when we were between 18 and 21. Did something else.
Yeah.
Let me give you a chance, Gary, to talk a little bit about VaynerMedia. It's a new company you created. Talk a little bit about it.
Yeah, my brother AJ finally graduated from college. We were waiting for 3 years.
Finally. The dog.
He graduated in time. He just wanted to drop out so we could make millions of dollars together starting VaynerMedia. We have a consultancy agency that we're a storytelling company. So we help brands storytell in the social media spaces. And we think it's more cost effective than traditional advertising. And most big brands are starting to realize they need to get involved at some level. And we've been very successful replicating what we've been able to do for me and my personal brand for other brands. And it's been very exciting. We're working with the New York Jets, which is our favorite football team, so that's a lot of fun, and a lot of other major brands. And it's exciting. It's just an exciting opportunity for us to really show Fortune 100s and startups like Babaco, which is an amazing baby company that we deal with out of Chicago, how to really, at a very low cost, get involved with customers.
You know, this is really just a clarification on your company from my standpoint. Some of the literature that your people sent our producers mentions that you have an incredible resource for business owners that look to maximize their marketing on a dime, and it also mentions that some of your clients, as you just mentioned, some big notable brands, P&G and Disney were a couple that were mentioned in the literature that we received. And it struck me, Gary, as interesting from a positioning standpoint, I guess. Usually a company like your own caters to either a small business sector or large global entities such as a P&G or Disney, but yet it sounds like chosen to serve both business sectors. Am I getting this right?
No, you know, you're really getting me excited because you're asking like it's another very good question. It's a really interesting nuance, and I'm glad you picked up on it. We feel very capable of being able to do both. We feel that the game is the same. It's about authenticity, transparency, creativity. These are all catchphrases. What does it come down to? Make stuff happen, right? Mm-hmm. Come up with ideas and get your hands dirty and shake some hands and kiss some babies and let people care about your brand and make sure your content is good and get to the tastemakers of the new world. We feel like there's, you know, obviously both sides benefit, whether you're really small or you're really large. And for us, we're very entrepreneurial. So if we have very small clients come to us, we do get, you know, equity plays in exchange because we are charging a lot of money per month retainer, and that's why we have the big guys. It's a very interesting balance, but what it's doing for us, especially my DNA, is it allows me to scratch my itch because I love the fact that I'll come up with a package that may show up in every Walmart end cap in America and a concept for a CPG company. But at the same token, there's also nothing more exciting to me than to take some guy and gal who have an idea and really bring it to market. So, I mean, it's allowing us to enjoy ourselves in two very different entrepreneurial ventures.
Well, you know, I can't let you get out of here without sharing a wine tip with us. I'm a big fan of buying second label from prestigious brands. One of an example of that is a great producer out of Napa Valley, Derry Oosh, has a second label called Caravan, which unfortunately, after launching it, bumped the price up based on how quickly it made it off the market and was cherished by consumers like, I guess, me, I suppose. But any wine tips along those lines for us before I let you go, Gary?
Absolutely. A couple things. 2007 Napa Valley is going to be the best and most exciting vintage since 1994. So that's something a lot of people need to pay attention to. Number two, Portugal. Portuguese red wines, especially from the Douro and from the Douro, are completely, completely underrated and massively over-delivering quality. You can buy great, great wines for $12 to $15. And number three, and probably the single most important one, is I'm so tired of people drinking the same types of wine over and over. There are so many wines out there, Greco di Tufa, Tanat, Cabernet Franc, Verdejo, all these amazing varietals, and we drink 12 of them, Cabernet, Merlot, Pinot Noir, Zin. Expand your palate. Go out and try a Gewürztraminer and a Grüner Veltliner. Go out and try these things because they will fundamentally expand your palate. If you go out and try a different type of wine for one straight year, at the end of that year, you are a wine expert.
Those are good tips to end with, and we invite you to go to WineLibraryTV.com or GaryVaynerchuk.com as well. Gary, it's been a blast having you here.
Guys, thank you so much. This was a lot of fun for me.
It's Ray Shillings and Brad Forsythe of The Advertising Show. Back in just a minute.
There is somewhere better to get inspired creative ideas. This is where it's at. OpenAd.net, the first online platform for advertisers, changing the way that ideas are created and traded. Access nearly 11,000 creative minds representing 125 countries around the world, waiting online to have a go at your brief. Imagine the impact such range and diversity of talent can have on your next advertising campaign. All creative work is IP cleared before you get it. We take care of all the details while you get brilliant ideas in a fraction of the time, at a lower cost, and with a lot less fuss. No endless meetings, no away days. When a client needed a new corporate identity ASAP and on a tight budget, they got the impossible. 170 creative solutions to the client in just 24 hours, from brief to deadline. OpenAd.net, busting down the walls of the ad industry. Put it to the test. Just go to OpenAd.net and give us a try. Hey, what have you got to lose? The future starts here.
Make your advertising dollars work smarter. You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsythe.
Hey, how about a nice Hawaiian punch?
Sure.
You taste 7 kinds of fruit in Hawaiian punch. 7 kinds of fruit in Hawaiian punch. Hawaiian punch is made with 7 kinds of fruit.
Thanks once again to Gary as we toast him here at the Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsythe. And looking forward to having Alex Ben Block on next week, contributing editor to The Hollywood Reporter. It'll be next week here at the Advertising Show. Alex always has an incredible amount of stuff to tell us about as well. This is interesting, Brad. There was an article in Advertising Age talking about the fact that they kind of slipped something by the sponsors of the Eagles, the football team, the Eagles.
Basically, does this have to do with Michael Vick?
Yes, it does. No sponsors have defected at this particular point, although there may have been some. Or the National Football League in the wake of Vick's return to the league, but the announcement cast a spotlight on the sometimes tenuous relationship between teams and corporate partners. Should the Eagles have reached out to their 44 corporate sponsors with some advance notice that the team planned to sign Vick, who was in prison for 23 months, and I repeat this, after pleading guilty to bankrolling a dogfighting operation, shame on you, who killed and tortured some of the underperforming dogs. Shame on you, Michael Vick. And I know you served your term, but shame on you still. And I'm just wondering what sponsors would say. I mean, you know, what if they had IAMS as part of the thing? Like, wouldn't that be awful?
Well, and even if you're just a regular old sponsor, but just happen to be an animal lover, and there've been, that could be a problem. There've been many fans and maybe just people that live in Philadelphia that have come out against this whole thing, and rightly so. They have a right to, you know, express their opinion about it. I don't know. I saw him on 60 Minutes. I don't know. Michael Vick I'm speaking of. I don't know if you saw it, Ray, but
no, I didn't know.
Yeah, it was last Sunday. And he's trying to reshape his image, and especially now that he's joined the Eagles football team. And he's got a long road ahead of him in terms of trying to change his image, because I frankly don't know how you take a culturally embedded way of viewing how you treat animals and get over that in a few years being in prison and losing $130 million contract. So,
and as far as being a person that endorsed that kind of stuff, and if I were in prison for doing something like that, I would be more afraid for my life than if I had murdered somebody. Because I think that convicts, more so than, I think they, you know, they're touched more from a human standpoint, an emotional standpoint, about about animals than they are about humans sometimes.
And I agree.
I don't know. But I think the issue here was you didn't tell your sponsors. Come on now. That's shady. So.
How long? I mean, are they saying that they, you know, you don't roll out of bed one day and sign Michael Vick? You're saying that they suggest that they knew about this many, many months in advance.
Sure. Yeah. And they just forgot to tell their sponsors. That's all. Oops. Nah, new CMO. Next year, or add whatever. So listen, we're going to take a break here. Shamin Abbas here. And what she's saying today, or I guess the question is, do you dig it with two G's? Let's listen.
And now it's time for Activist for Excellence, PR, publicity, and crisis management instruction for today's marketing professional. Now, here's your host, the uncompromising Shamin Abbas.
Do you dig it? One of those social networking 800-pound gorillas I mentioned in a previous show is the most powerful social bookmarking site, Digg. A social bookmarking site is simply an extension of the bookmarking capability in whatever browser you use, only these bookmarks are saved on a web server instead of your own computer. Once posted online, members can tag their bookmarks with descriptive terms, append short commentaries, and share bookmarks with other users. Getting mentioned on Digg can be the best or worst thing that happens to your clients. It can send tens or even hundreds of thousands of visitors to a client's website with just a single link on its highly used homepage. It can also turn a corporate snafu into a global embarrassment with stunning speed. Digg has the awesome power to drive awareness of online content. Members submit items they find on the web to a community voting process. Items accumulating a large number of favorable votes, or digs, move up in the popularity stack, and negative votes counterbalance the positive. How has Digg helped marketers? Well, when 7-Eleven dressed up some of its stores as quick e-marts to promote the opening of the Simpsons movie, it shot to the top of Digg's entertainment section. BlendTech's destruction of an Apple iPhone in one of its blenders was one of 2007's Doug stories. One of our agency clients just won the White Castle account, and there will no doubt be PR stunts and humorous commercials we can submit to Digg, as well as post on YouTube. However, Digg thrives on the bizarre, the political, and the techie. So it's not always the best place for successful marketing campaigns. The site's snarky tone can make it generally hospitable for marketers, but the right viral campaign can be seen by the site's 26 million monthly viewers, and I can dig that just fine.
You've been listening to Activist for Excellence, PR, publicity, and crisis management instruction for today's marketing professional with host Shamin Abbas. Shamin is president and founder of Shamin Abbas Public Relations, a full-service agency providing local, regional, national, and international media relations, special event production, and inventive promotion with offices in New York City and West Palm Beach. To learn more, visit ShaminAbbasPR.com. That's ShaminAbbasPR.com.
Yes, I can. Dig it here. The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. Brad, what do you have there as we close the show?
Well, you know, you'll like this, Ray, being an old radio guy. The FCC is launching its first blog aimed at chronicling the development of the agency's national broadband plan. The FCC is also launching a Twitter feed. Tweets will include news about the FCC as well as progress reports on the national plan. Think about it, Ray. Q3 of 2009 and the FCC is finally using social media. What do you think?
Wow. Pretty soon they'll get away from dial-up. You know? I'm thinking. What do you think? Hey, Alex Ben Block is always a gas to have on the show, and we do mean that in the kindest way, Alex, okay? So he'll be with us next week. Hope you will too as well. Tell your friends about the Advertising Show. It's always here at theadvertisingshow.com with an incredible amount of content available for podcasting or just listening to or going all the way back to 2001. That's a lot of info, folks. The Advertising Show has been brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com and by our friends at Captivate Network. You can visit them at Captivate.com with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. The Advertising Show is a Big Radio Midgets production.